Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome into Gramlich and McLean. This is our first official day before the ACC championship show. We're going to have one before the basketball ACC championship game and ACC tournament and stuff like that, but we're in postseason mode here at Gramlich and McLean.
That's right.
Aren't we, Mac? Postseason mode on this pod.
Absolutely. Kelly, I am so excited for this game. Sadly, when you look at the huddle coverage, I'm the only one going. I'm excited that I get to go, but I'm going to be the only one in the stadium from the huddle team, get to cover the game live. We'll have kind of a pregame show that leads right into the championship, and then we'll have another one breaking it all down. So it'll be fun to see the Tigers in person for the first time this year. So I'm really looking forward to that. And of course, Notre Dame, our guys who are on their study abroad tour, if you will, as the great Jordan Cornette told us.
I enjoyed our Homer pod so much. And I hope you guys did too.
It was fun, right? A fun little mix up.
It was great. And JC and Jess were so down, and they're so good. They're so smart. They're so educated. They have such a good sense of humor.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, Kelly. People on, you know, Twitter, hearing your guys' reaction, a lot of people are like, guys, you weren't even homers. You guys were too. And it's kind of true, because I've trained myself now for 2.5 years to be, you know, in the middle and to not be biased. And it's funny that people called us out. So the next time we do it, just know I am bringing it. I might wear my Clemson helmet, actually.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. See, I showed up, I had on a Clemson hat, and I guess I had on a Clemson sweatshirt. I don't necessarily remember. But, and then I think Jess had on a Notre Dame shirt. The main critique I got, like our guy Kwok, he was like, y'all weren't mean enough.
Yeah, exactly. but we were hosts. We were hosting some guests. You know, we
see, and that's what we do in the South, is we smile.
That is exactly
right.
We're
nice. But deep down, we want to destroy you. So that's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
I think it makes sense. Okay, well, we don't have really a big three breakdown, because we have two ACC games this weekend. One is a championship and one is Florida State Wake Forest. But we are going to mention FSU Wake at the end in our speed round. And I do think it's a big game for both programs. And I think it'd be good for FSU moving forward, building on the Duke win and then building on the McKenzie Milton commitment. So we're going to get to that game, but it is time for our big game breakdown. We're going to spend most of this show, as we should, as the world is doing, Mac, on number 2, Notre Dame, and number 3, Clemson. And our big three breakdown is brought to you by our great friends at Sunshine Beverages. Feel good energy is the perfect pick-me-up. It sparkles with vitamins, electrolytes, and only 70 milligrams of natural caffeine that is sourced from organic green coffee beans. In delicious flavors like blueberry lemonade, clementine twist, and ginger berry, Sunshine offers a balanced boost with great taste and better-for-you ingredients. You guys can find Sunshine at your local Publix or visit drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout for 10% off your order. That's drinkthesunshine.com. Sunshine, feel good energy. And Mac, those would make a really good little Christmas gift, the sampler pack.
Yeah, they would. That sampler pack, they do a great job with that. And just the way that it's already packaged for you, they sent us a picture of that earlier today. It looks really good. So it could be a nice little gift. Kelly just mentioned it. Go to the website, drinkthesunshine.com, and we're going to help you guys out. Just enter in ACC10, 10% off. It's a great deal.
Exactly. Okay. Let's get into this game. This is how we're doing this today. I am basically going to ask Matt questions, and he is going to give us the answers of what is going to happen in this ACC championship game. So I want to start.
And it's going to happen. Everything I say, it's going to be the opposite, just so you guys know. That's normally how it works on the huddle. And, you know, we'll do our best, though, today.
Not true. Not true. You know these two teams really well, and we both do. Let's start with the spread. Like, we're not a pod that's just going to break down the spread and break down the line and talk Vegas and all this stuff. But I find spreads really interesting. I'm not a degenerate. I don't bet. And I know you don't either, Mac. But I still think the spreads can tell you a lot about at least the narrative surrounding the game. So right now, Clemson is a 10.5-point favorite. I am pretty surprised by that, considering Notre Dame beat them 5 weeks ago. Considering Notre Dame is the higher ranked team What does this spread say to you, Mac, when you initially see that 10.5 number?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because on the Homer pod with JC and Jess, I said that it was surprising. And to be honest with you guys, I wasn't surprised. I actually told Jordan.
See, you were being too nice.
I know, I was being way too nice. I actually told Jordan before the game was set, or right after the game was set, I told him the line's going to be a double-digit favorite, Clemson. And he said, there's no chance. And I said, brother, let me tell you something. They're getting all their guys back on the defensive side of the ball. The best player in the country, Trevor Lawrence, is playing in the game. And you take all the historicals from Notre Dame, and that's where you get this line. I think it's more so a great respect for those players coming back, but it's also a little bit of discounting what Notre Dame has done this year. So it is interesting. It is something that definitely raised some eyebrows. Kelly, I think the more disrespectful line is FBI's matchup predictor.
Yes.
And the fact that they have a 71% chance for Clemson to defeat these guys. So you're only giving Notre Dame, who's already beaten these Clemson Tigers, 29%. I thought that was interesting. I thought that would be a little bit closer, but here we are, and it's a good thing that the game is in one day.
So back in your day, Mac, when Clemson was going to the playoff.
A long time ago. Let me think about it.
Back in the day, I remember specifically 2015, 2016, the 2015 semifinal. Clemson was always a dog against Alabama. Come on, let's be real. And I'm saying that facetiously. Like, of course, they won. They won. I guess they've split them in the playoff. They've right. each won two. But I remember the Clemson-Oklahoma game, that semifinal. OU was probably 7.5, 8-point favorite, something like that. And then same thing with Ohio State in 2016. So my question is, has the narrative flipped? Like, can Clemson even play the disrespect card, specifically when it comes to Vegas? Or is this strictly about Notre Dame and the fact that outside of the Clemson win this year, when they get on the big stage in the postseason, they can't seem to do it?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be interesting to see, which one, because you see with Clemson and the fact that there is no disrespect card to play, right? A role that Coach Sweeney, a role that those Clemson Tigers love to be in. And
yes.
When that Roy bus is fired up, and really it was for part of the season after they lost. But even the committee putting them at 3. So there's really no room for that this year and no angle to even play it. Now, we'll see what happens if, you know, Clemson does win, they get into the playoff, if they're favored or not. Judging by this, I think they will. But there's nowhere to play that. So for me and for Clemson, what I think it's going to be is playing that, okay, we get to beat a team that beat us. We get an opportunity to play these guys again to kind of right that wrong that happened. That is very rare. You hardly ever see that happening, especially in a setting like this, in a championship game. You know, maybe down the line, in a playoff or in something like that. But for you to kind of get it in your championship game, it's very rare that it happened. Now I say that, and then I reflect back, and we did that in 2011 against Virginia Tech, but we beat them. So we beat Virginia Tech twice, and
that's rare.
Yeah, I was redshirted that year, and it was just different, you know, preparation and things. So it's weird there, but I did think coming into this game, or 2 weeks before it was actually official, coming into this game, that Clemson was going to have the edge motivationally because of that. We want to beat you. You've beaten us. We want to beat you. Then when this line and these numbers came out, I'm like, well, all that just got swung right back to Notre Dame. And now they can say they're the underdog. They can play in that disrespect card, which for such a blue blood and such an esteemed program like Notre Dame, who probably isn't in that role much or even want to be in that role, right? They're probably prideful and excited that they get to say, we're Notre Dame, we're going to beat you down. They don't want to be an underdog. So now that they can take that, you know, what is this team going to really look like? So I am interested, Kelly, just to see the mindset of both these teams from the jump, if there is a clear cut, okay, this team's ready, this team's not, or if it's just like, all right, this is going to be a great game.
One more kind of non-X's and O's question, then I want to get into the X's and O's and specifically what you see on both sides of the ball for each team. And I have a feeling that you actually may think that I can answer this question better. Because to your point, gosh, we know each other too well. It's weird because Mac literally said before we started recording, I'm going to flip one of your questions on you. And I thought, oh, this might be it. So is Virginia Tech the only team that you played twice in a year? Is that it?
It is.
Wow. Yep,
that's the only
football
one.
Football is so different.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It is so rare that you play a team twice at the college level. On the basketball side, You do.
All right, I'm stopping you right now. Kelly, how is it when you play a team twice? Is it different? Because I've got to think that with basketball, you guys do this all the time. Not maybe not with every opponent, but with a majority of your opponents, it's a home and home. And you play at your house, you go and play them there. Talk to us about preparation. Do you change everything? Like, let's say you lose to Notre Dame in basketball. Then you play them again in 5 weeks. Are you guys redoing what you did? Or are you just trying to get a little bit better? What does the game plan look like in that instance?
You don't redo everything. I don't think either team, especially Clemson, the team that lost, is going to redo everything. For me, and specifically for us, and they've changed a little bit now because they've added more teams and they've added more games. We would play Georgia Tech twice every year, and we would play Florida State twice every year. And what it came down to is, we knew these teams so well. We knew exactly what Georgia Tech wanted to do. We knew they were going to press. That was their thing. They were going to be physical. Like, you know these things. So what it came down to, especially that first meeting and then the second one specifically, it comes down to which team executes better. Because you know their tendencies. You know that scout. You know what they're going to do. So that's what it comes down to, I think, with both of these teams. Both teams are very familiar with each other. It comes down to execution. And I think specifically from a football perspective, and this is actually a stat that Tim Beret threw out there, I think on Packer and Durham and elsewhere, in this Notre Dame-Clemson series, the team that has won the turnover margin has won the game every time. And now I know turnover margin is always important in football, but you don't necessarily see that where every single time the team that has won the turnover margin wins. And you could apply that to basketball.
I can speak to that very well, because in 15, I think we only won the turnover margin like twice, which is crazy to think. We were in the national championship 14-0, number one in the country, and we had like not ever won the turnover margin. It was pretty wild to say.
That team really liked just giving the ball away. I don't know what the deal was.
We wanted to make it interesting. Right, you know, we wanted to make it weird and whatever.
But it's an execution thing, Mac. When you're so familiar with the other team, and you know this too from playing, you know, playing Florida State every year or whatever it is. And so I think taking care of the ball is going to be huge in this game. But you're right. It's very rare that two teams play each other twice in a football season. And My bent when I see that, when I see a team playing for a second time, is generally, and you're going to say, oh, okay, Kelly, it's Clemson. Generally pick the team, if the game was close, pick the team that lost, because you just don't see in football, you don't see one team beat the other team twice. Like with this Big 12 championship, Iowa State got Oklahoma earlier in the year. Are they going to get them again? It's just very rare.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think even more so when you look at the game and you look at the game that happened November 7th, Notre Dame played so well and really just offensively Ian Book taking it to another level. And you know, Jordan said, you know, look, they were on the goal line. We were on the goal line and we had to kick field goals. You know, we did get stopped, but that's what Clemson does. You know, people forget that Clemson handed Notre Dame 10 points, gave it to them, literally bounced off of Travis Etienne's face right into Jeremiah Owusu-Koamora, and he scores a touchdown. Amari Rodgers catches a ball, which I don't think was a catch, fumbles it. Notre Dame gets the ball right back, kicks a field goal, 10 points. That all happened within like a span of 90 seconds. So you're looking at a 10-point swing that never, ever should have happened. And you look at the defensive performance. Outside of that one long 60-yard run, they bottled up Kyren Williams. They were able to contain him and slow him down. So it's just interesting enough, Kelly, when you play people twice, can you muster up the same luck, the same execution, all these different things twice? And it's a tough thing to do. So that's why I think the line is what it is. That's why I think the matchup is going to go the way that we'll continue to talk about. But it's going to be interesting to see the results of this game.
It is definitely a fair question. Can you beat that team twice? And can you beat Clemson twice? It's, you know, can you slay the giant twice? Because that's what Notre Dame did. And that's not just us saying that. That's what everyone else was calling it as well. When you look at, let's start with these two defenses, Mac, because I've been very impressed with Notre Dame's defense. I think specifically beyond the Clemson game, what they did to North Carolina in the second half, I know that blew you away. With Clemson, are they healthy? That's the biggest question. you have Jake Venables, he's gone. So if Skowski does get hurt, which is possible because he has that groin injury that is very easy to re-injure, then I have a lot of questions about the linebacker. So which team would you give, even though Clemson is healthy or healthier at this moment, which team would you give the edge on defense?
You know, it's interesting enough because I know people are going to think, is this another Homer cast? Is that what you guys are doing here? But I truly do.
We call it like we see it.
Right, exactly. I give them the nod because, again, Jess rattled off all those numbers and talked about how, Notre Dame blew them out of the water. Well, you look at Notre Dame's numbers and outside of the third down defense, Clemson blew all those out of the water. And so it's just two great teams that played great at that day. But when I look at the entire team and I look at what they're good at, what they do best and the ability to do so, I think Clemson just has that more. I think Clemson has the guys that are going to be healthy that can get after the quarterback this time, Ian Book. They're going to have Mike Jones back who can contain Ian Book, who can spy Ian Book. And I'm doing a tape on Saturday. You guys won't want to miss it, of how Mike is going to be used to do so and how it's already been proven. He's already done it against De'Arik King, against Hendon Hooker, against these athletic quarterbacks.
And Mike Jones was injured and did not play against Notre Dame the first game.
Exactly. For those of you who do not remember. And so having him in is going to be a huge piece. The fact that they literally have a 300-pound, 6'2", 6'3" defensive tackle back that was not there. Notre Dame is missing their starting center. So you're talking about a 180-degree flip of power right there where you have your best versus your second best. And so there's just a lot of things that I think are going to add up in Clemson's favor. I think the blitz scheme is going to be a lot different. We're talking about giving Coach Brent Venables, one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, if not the best, 2 weeks to prepare. And you look what Clemson has done historically in these bowl games. They have destroyed people. And that's just what they do because they get so dialed in. Skowski, Jones, Baylen Specter, those linebackers, they know what they're looking at. And they know their offense maybe better than you do at this point when you get to 2 weeks and you get so much film and they can just recognize it so much quicker. So because of all those factors, I'm giving Clemson's defense the edge. Now, again, we talked about on the podcast on Wednesday, Kyle Hamilton for Notre Dame, best safety in the country. The things that he can do, the ground that he can cover, the impact that he can have across the entire field is very Isaiah Simmons-ish. He is more of a DB version of Isaiah Simmons. And then we mentioned Wu earlier, a guy that's a linebacker right now. I think he's going to transition to more of a hybrid defensive back. He's going to be more of that, spur, if you will, or rover, which he is for them now, but I think he's going to be more in coverage in the NFL. He's so dynamic, and those guys are really going to be able to cause disruptions, cause different things, but I just have a feeling, Kelly, that Clemson's defense is going to take it up a big, big notch.
Who's the best defensive player in the game?
For me, it is Kyle Hamilton. You know, I think that he's that good of a player. He's that unique of a player where, I mean, I'm talking like top 10 when he comes out for the NFL draft, and I think Wu is that guy too, like maybe top 15. And maybe even they're number one and number two when you add it all up. But right now, I've got to give it to Kyle Hamilton.
See, and that's kind of what I thought you would say. And I agree. I think it's possible that the two best defensive players in the game play for Notre Dame.
But then 3 through 11 is Clemson.
The better unit is Clemson's if they're healthy.
That's right.
And again, guys, if Skowski gets hurt on the first series, things change.
Yeah, because you're talking about third and fourth string in, not second string.
Yeah. Mike Jones is back, which is huge. And this is actually, we had Mike Golic Jr., Graham Lincoln McLean alum from the first episode, first guest. We had him on my radio show today, and he said his key, and I want to run this by you, Matt, because I agree with him. His key for Clemson is the linebackers, and specifically the linebackers containing Kyren Williams and Ian Book's scrambling ability and not giving up big plays. What do you make of that?
Yeah, 100%. And again, that's kind of the tape I was talking to you about. It's directly focusing on containing, not letting them even get going, Kyren Williams and Ian Book. If you let those guys get, you know, some speed rolling, get some confidence going, it can be a long night because, again, the escapability of Ian Book, is dangerous. It's what keeps me up at night, tossing and turning. And I'm not even a defensive coordinator, so I can only imagine what Coach B is thinking
Venables
about.
Venables has not slept this whole week. Let's be clear.
No. This whole year, to be honest. And then with Kyren, a guy who is so dangerous, one of two, Kelly, one of two running backs. The other one, Dalvin Cook, obviously the most the best running back in the NFL right now. One of two guys that have scored three rushing touchdowns on Dabo Swinney era of Clemson ever. So you're talking about 10, 11 years. So it's rare air. That guy is a very good player, obviously could make a big time impact. So it's going to be interesting to see. And you talk about those linebackers. PFF just released their grades for some positions. Clemson was the number one linebacking core in all the country. So you talk about importance, you talk about guys needing to be out there healthy for their team. It's definitely those Clemson linebackers.
Yeah, I promise you injured Clemson was not number one, but healthy Clemson, that's the biggest difference. And, Mac, let's flip it on the offensive side of the ball, something that you and I both love, because as much as love defense.
I'm honest, I can't believe that you even started with defense. Isn't that weird? To be honest.
It's very odd. I don't know what's gotten into me. Okay, offensively for me, if Clemson wants to win this game. Now, remember, both teams scored 33 points. Both teams looked pretty good offensively, and then you get into overtime. I think both teams did a lot of good things, and we know it's not DJU, it's Trevor, and DJU passed for 440 yards in the game. But it's weird with ETN, because we've talked about ETN coming into the season and throughout the season after the Miami game. We were talking about ETN for Heisman, and he's really fallen off. I know that it's a group effort. I know it's not just ETN, but to me, the norm for ETN has become not rushing for 100 yards. Like now when he doesn't rush for 100 yards, people aren't asking, oh, what's wrong? It's just kind of become the norm for Clemson's offense. Now they're passing the ball really well. So what does Clemson need from ETN? Do they need maybe 50 yards on the ground, 50 yards receiving, 100 total? Like, what do you think and how do you think Clemson's going to use ETN?
You know, I might even raise that number to like 150. I think total. They need that production. Yeah, definitely not 38 or whatever he had, the last time that they played. And I know that was just rushing. He did have some great yards in the receiving game as well.
28 rushing.
Yeah. So
57
so not good.
Receiving.
There you go. So about 70. So yeah, I need double. We need double that if Clemson wants to win the game, because he's that special of a player. You've got to get him the touches, but you got to get him in space too. And I think, truly to answer that question, I almost have to talk about Trevor first, because I think that is such an important piece of this offense. And in particularly this game, when you look at the rush attack from Clemson, it's going to start with Trevor, because that is the X factor. And I know Notre Dame knows this. So even if it's not necessarily an X factor, it's something that they're going to pay attention to that I think will, open up Travis Etienne being available to be just more open and not, targeted by the two best players on your defense. Now you have to use one of them on Travis, one of them on Trevor, and you just see who's better. Is it going to be your defensive guy or our offensive guy? But when it's one-on-one, you feel a little bit more confident. So I think the zone read, I think the fact that Clemson will have that threat with Trevor's legs is going to help Travis. I truly do. And I think that's going to open up the rushing lanes more. I think it's going to give him different creases, different looks, just because, again, you're focusing on two people instead of one now. So, and if Notre Dame doesn't respect it, if they try to chance it and still, put 90% of their attention on Travis Etienne, then it's going to look like the Ohio State playoff game a year ago. And Trevor's going to go off and, have 100-plus rushing yards, because it's going to be wide open. I mean, I went back and watched that film, and when, Clemson ran the zone read, the pull was there. I mean, I'm talking about 30, 40-yard gains, Kelly. This isn't just a 10-yard pickup, a 4-yard pickup. This is massive openings.
How much of that do you think was DJ being somewhat banged up, or DJ just not being comfortable enough to pull it?
Probably 70-30 being hurt. I think the fact that he was hurt, the fact that, like you mentioned on the Homercast, depth, not really wanting to run him. Now, Clemson did run him a couple of times, but even when he ran, I mean, it was very, just hesitant, not gaining yards, not getting upfield.
You got to protect him, because he had gotten hurt in that game, guys,
it would have been a wrap even sooner. There would be no overtime. So I think that's, when you're talking about Travis getting involved, that's going to be the difference. I think there are some things that we saw on film when you know, Clemson went to hand the ball off to Travis, safeties are screaming down. So I would expect to see some RPO adjustments, which Trevor does really well at those. DJ did okay, but he missed a couple of really big throws. That RPO, you get those safeties down, you're talking about touchdowns. I just talked about big pickups in the zone read. You're talking about touchdowns in the RPO game where guys are going to be screaming wide open. And so whether that's Travis coming out of the backfield, running right by those guys, or a little bit of a skinny post right behind you when you leave, that's going to be something that Notre Dame has to pay attention to and maybe even alter, which then again, to answer your initial question, that's going to open up things for Travis.
What is it like? And I want to get, I don't know if we want to do predictions. We can just talk about this right here on the pod to give some predictions out. I'll definitely be giving one on the pregame show I'm doing on Saturday. But, you know, Notre Dame, a lot of the guys on this team, they have playoff experience. They don't have kind of this ACC championship experience. Is there anything different, Mac? Like, what is different about the ACC title game versus a playoff? Is it the same? What do we need to know about that?
Well, I think when you look at the caliber of this game, the fact that you had a week off before, the fact that this has been an insane year with already so many different things, I don't think it's that big of an advantage or disadvantage either way. I don't think Clemson gains anything for the fact that they've played in this thing now six straight times. I don't think there's a disadvantage that Notre Dame has never played in. I think they're truly, both of these teams have been able to handle it kind of like a bowl game. You know, outside of the fact that they didn't travel to the game for 5 days or a week extra, I think they're really taking this as a bowl type mentality. So I don't know if there'll be a slight advantage there. You know, I kind of thought that there would be going into it. But now the fact that they've had so much time, they've had 2 weeks, I don't think there's really an advantage either way.
That's interesting. A bowl game vibe. I can definitely see that.
Yeah. And especially, Kelly, with the fact that the North Carolina rule, 7% or lower, whatever it is, it's not going to be a Clemson home environment, which if it was.
That's a good point.
I mean, Clemson fans would have already had all these tickets. I mean, I've talked to so many people just here in my neighborhood that have, you know, been refunded, that, you know, Clemson fans that have had their tickets since July, and now they're having to give all those back. And so it's not going to be an environment issue. It's not going to be anything. It's going to be a strange game to see it with such a limited capacity. But of course, that's what we've dealt with all year.
That's a really interesting point there, Mac. Okay, before we get to any sort of predictions, and then we're going to touch on Wake Forest, Florida State, because of course we have to. But before we get to the predictions for this game, I want to ask about the outcome. If Notre Dame loses, I think they're still in the playoff. I think everyone's kind of in agreement with that. If Clemson loses, is there a chance two lost Clemson's in the playoff? And would you be okay with that? Would that be deserved? What do you think?
You know, it is interesting how this committee has ranked people, how they've moved people, how after losses, it doesn't seem to matter. And somebody quoted me today when I said something of that nature and said, Eric McLean says his losses don't matter. And I'm just like, that's not really what I said. I said the committee isn't, you know, worrying about losses. I think they should matter. I think Florida should have free fell out of the top 10. And so looking at their point of view and looking how they do things, I'm not sure how you could move a Clemson team that loses potentially to the number two team in the country more than one spot. You lose a team, or you move a team one spot in Florida who got embarrassed at home from a terrible LSU team, and you move them one. So I'm just not sure if the committee was doing that on purpose to guarantee Clemson and Notre Dame both being in, to say, hey, look, we've already done this for other people. That's what we're doing this week. I'm not sure if that was the mindset, if they're trying to keep Florida close in case Florida beats Alabama. You know, so I just don't know why they did the things that they do, how they're valuing Iowa State, who got destroyed by the Sun Belt, and somehow that team that destroyed the team that destroyed them is, 10 spots behind them. So this committee is very strange, Kelly. It is going to be very interesting to see just what happens, regardless of the outcome. You know, if Clemson is to lose, do they keep them in? Is it the first two-loss team ever that's not a conference champion? So it's going to be very intriguing. But I think the fact that it is a top three matchup, you talk about eye test, I don't think there's any doubt about it that Clemson is one of the best four teams in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Notre Dame is one of the best four teams in the country. So you've got to almost think that this game, whoever loses, is still in.
It's crazy. They did this so that we would talk about it, Mac. I'm convinced. They just want people talking about it.
That's the only reason.
Because you guys don't make sense. Okay. I've decided this just right here. Let's talk a little Florida State Wake. Just give me your keys there, and then we'll do our prediction right after. So you have to stay tuned for Florida State Wake. Congrats, everyone.
You guys don't hit that fast forward button. You have to stay here. I think when you look at that game, number one, I'm actually surprised that we're still playing it, just with the amount of injuries, opt-outs from both teams. I'm actually shocked that we're getting all the way through this thing. Wake is a 6.5-point favorite. You know, not as surprising. What is surprising is they have 79% chance to win via FBI. So it's funny to see the discrepancies in those numbers and how, you know, close or far apart they are. It's hard to tell, Kelly, with this game, because again, I don't know who's going to play. I don't know who's available for Wake Forest. We haven't seen anything yet. That offense obviously took a really hard hit with who they had and who was able to play against Louisville. No Kenneth Walker. We didn't find that out until late Friday. A couple of wide receivers did not play. So it was a very interesting, very rusty Wake Forest team. And then you look on the other side, Florida State scoring the most points they've scored all year. So it's two teams that have kind of gone back and forth all year long. Wake Forest got really, really hot before they had to stop everything. And then, of course, have now lost two in a row. It's going to be interesting to see who shows up and who's excited. Wake's at home. So I've got to think that they're feeling good about that and ultimately are going to be able to score enough points to either keep up or blow Florida State out. So regardless of how you look at it, it's two teams that have gotten to this finish line or playing one more, and we should all just be happy that there's more football to talk about.
Who shows up and who's more excited? I completely
agree. Exactly. That's what it comes down
to. Who brings the energy for that game?
Yep.
All right, Mac, I'm going to give my prediction first. I'm going to let you take us out with your prediction, okay? Because I think ours are going to be different. I actually gave this Claire, one of our ACC Network producers, asked for my prediction. So I filmed a little thing that I think might be on the huddle. We'll see.
Come on.
And I was decked out in the Tiger Paw because I thought, why not? Because I know that Coach McGraw is going to come with like her Irish stuff.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, you better win hard.
She's already been talking some trash to me. So if Notre Dame wins on Friday, or sorry, on Saturday.
Have a bet? Hold on. Do y'all have a bet or anything?
We don't have a bet. I don't think Coach McGraw is a betting woman.
No. You got to get it out of her. Y'all have to do something on air, whoever loses. So okay. Be thinking about that.
All right. Well, we might have round three. So we'll see when it's all said and done. I'm going Clemson 35, Notre Dame 31. I think it's going to be closer. I respect what Notre Dame's done this season. I think, you know, people still have questions about how they can perform in big games, but I'm not really going to apply that to this team because I think Ian Book has shown that he can handle this moment now, maybe not 2 years ago, but now Kyren Williams is the hottest running back coming into this game. I think he's playing really well. The wide receivers have continued to step up. We know that the defense is very capable of slowing down Clemson, but I do think the added factor of Trevor is going to be worth something for Clemson, as well as a healthy Skalski, healthy Tyler Davis, a healthy Mike Jones. Like I said, if Skalski gets hurt at some point in this game and he is not able to play, I think it changes a lot. Skalski is an X factor for me, just with the leadership and the fact that he's the quarterback of the defense and all this. But I think Clemson's going to find a way to pull it out 35-31. And I am hoping and crossing my fingers for a third game in the college football playoff. Hopefully not in the semis. Hopefully
no,
for
we
the
need
Natty.
It in Miami. Yeah, that's right. We need it in Miami.
Someone's got to beat Alabama, so we'll see. But I'm saying Clemson 35, Notre Dame 31.
I like that. And it's interesting enough that we have the same score for Clemson, because I was asked to give my prediction for our show on Saturday. And so I said 35-24. And, you know, I think Clemson is obviously going to be more healthy. They're feeling really good about themselves. I totally agree with what you said about Skalski. I think if he plays, if he's hurt, it is a very different game. And he has a lot of impact. And I'm not sure outside a quarterback if there's somebody that means more to a particular side of their, you know, team, defense, and offense than Skalski does to this Clemson defense. So you talk about that big of an impact, how much of a difference maker he can be. So I think that's going to be the score. But I'll go ahead and say this. I would not be shocked 1 ounce if Clemson puts the clamps on Notre Dame and if they just shut them down offensively and Coach Venables comes out here with a masterful performance, because this is why. When you look at that first game a lot of good things, a lot of lucky things, a lot of execution things happened for Notre Dame. They also switched up their offense a little bit. They did things that we have never seen them do outside of that game and now moving forward. Now the fact that there isn't really this shock factor, there isn't really this, oh, we don't know what they're doing factor, unless Tommy Rees has something up his sleeve that he's been waiting for this game, which very well could happen. I just think you can't give Coach Venables 2 weeks to prepare. And to be quite honest with you, Kelly, there's been people on that staff, not coaches, assistants, people that, you know, volunteer their time to help be a part of their program. They've been building a game plan for Notre Dame since they lost. I can guarantee you that. So both these teams are going to be ready. I truly think it's going to be a great round two. I think it's going to live up to the hype, the excitement, and really be a fun game. Guys, I cannot wait for Saturday. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you tune in maybe even before the game. If you already listen to it again.
Yes.
And come back and tell us if we are right or wrong. We'll do that on Monday regardless. And if you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop us a little rating, a little review. It's always fun to talk to you guys. And until next time, we'll see y'all.